Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. We got I'm Jim Blasingame, by the way, in case you didn't know it. And I'm glad you're here. We got Janet Christie back on the show. Janet is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She is the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. And her company focuses on that. On that, primarily helping women with their put their best foot forward in the marketplace, finding all the opportunities out there for women, some that are kind of unique for women. And she's our good friend, Janet Christie. Welcome back.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. By the way, I meant to mention this last hour, folks. On this day in 1915, the U.S. House of Representatives, Janet, rejected a proposal to give women the right to vote. 1915, it failed. Women the right to vote failed in the House.
Wow, that wasn't that long ago.
Less than 100 years ago, 95 years ago. And of course, we know that, what was it, within a year or so, that all came to an end. But it isn't, you know, as we stand here in the 21st century, doesn't it seem preposterous that there was ever a time in America when half of our citizens couldn't vote?
It does. And do you know, I saw a TV show that showed, I don't know if this was true, but it showed that some of the representatives' mothers got involved, and that's when they changed their vote.
Yeah, I remember that. That's pretty funny. Mom showed up with a rolling pin and grabbed their son by his ear and said, here's how you're going to vote.
Yeah, it's at least likely that it
right.
would happen.
So the wife didn't have as much influence as Mom did, I guess.
Maybe not.
That's funny. Okay, Janet, you've conjured up some really good ideas here for going forward in 2010. You're calling them resolutions, but folks, if you're uncomfortable with that word, you can call them whatever you want. I like to think of them as fundamentals. What do you think, Janet?
Well, that might be a better word for them because they are very.
Because we don't want these to get lumped into losing weight and stop smoking, right?
No,
because we know that's not happening.
No, these are not the things that you bring up every year and talk about for a week and then throw out the door.
Exactly. So what's the first one?
Well, the first one, I think, is probably, this is the fourth year I've done this, and it was not on previous year's list, but I think because of the economic times, I had to put it as number one, and that's do not let desperation cloud your thinking. And I believe we talked about that the last time I was on your show, that when everybody's hurting and scared about where the next dollar comes from or what you're going to do, that's when you make some decisions out of fear that may not be the best ones.
Desperate people tend to do desperate things, don't
they? Yes.
So, folks, just because you see things that are desperate, just because it might be encroaching on you a little bit, your ability to not behave in a desperate way could be the difference between survival and not surviving, right?
Yes. And when you're desperate, you get taken advantage of by people who want to separate you from your money.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe that that's increased, just look at the number of emails in your junk box.
And I'll tell you something else. The only thing that's more expensive than trying to do business in a regular environment is trying to do business when you're desperate.
Yes.
Because there are lots of... There are just so many mistakes and so many extra expenses that happen. And folks, perhaps you can tell that I speak from experience, Janet. You know, I mean, what small business owner hasn't had desperate times?
Oh, yeah.
So the key is not whether you're going to have desperate times. I think that's the big story, Janet, is not so much are you going to have desperate times, are you in desperate times? The question is how are you going to react to that? You don't have to react in a desperate way to desperate times, do you?
No, and you don't have to act as quickly as sometimes you think you do. You need to be sure you build in some think time.
Take deep breaths. You might have to leave the building for a little while. Sleep on things. Because, you know, it's amazing what a night's sleep and the sun going around the world can do for a problem. If not in reality, at least in your head.
Yes, when you look at something tomorrow, it doesn't necessarily look the same way.
It always looks different, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And that's the advice we give people when we say don't do something out of anger. You know, sleep on it or write it down and then throw the letter away or something like that. But business is probably even more important.
Whenever I have an email or a letter to write to somebody that I feel is a little strong, and it needs to be strongly worded, whenever I've had that to happen in the past, I never send it the day I write it. Ever.
Well, and that should be true for small businesses of proposals.
Oh, yeah.
And other things that are important written documents, agreements.
Anything.
Yeah. Let it sit.
You got it. There, folks, this is a hard and fast rule. Anything important, you must sleep on it at least one night. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so good point there. All right, what's number two?
Number two is to stop looking for grants and no strings attached money.
Grant died.
Yes, he did. But there's a lot of people calling me that don't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to be the one to tell them.
Yeah. People are still out there looking for free money, aren't they?
Yes. And I have found it very interesting that accountants and other people who are supposed to be helping small business who should know this don't have the courage to tell people, and they send them to me. So I'm kind of like the hatchet man or something.
Right, right.
To shatter their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're the Grinch.
Yeah, but at least, you know, I can tell them the truth. And then there's those books and the TV shows and the 800 numbers. That they'll sell you a book about
those,
how to get grants.
Those are so that you become that guy's grant.
Absolutely.
Right? You're the grant for him when you send him the money. Well, I tell you something else on this grant thing. Folks, if you have a business model that requires free money, you've got a flawed, unsuccessful business model. When the grant money is gone, you will be gone too.
And if you don't believe that, just ask somebody who works for an education or a government
agency. Exactly. Well said.
Lost their job.
Well said. Quick break. Right back with Janet Creason. We've got more of these resolution fundamentals to think about after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us.
Whether they're right or wrong, at least the mystery is gone.
Here's Joe Cocker bringing us back. Wild Englishman, Crazy Man, Big Rocker. It's a great song. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Janet Christie. She's the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. And you can find lots of stuff that Janet has deposited with us. Lots of wisdom and information, especially, ladies, if you're interested in putting your best foot forward in the marketplace. Janet has given us so much information over the years, and you can find that in her location in our brain trust at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And since she's on the show this week, she's very prominent on the homepage and in our recent archives, and will be this week, so, and on the schedule page and all that. So she's very prominent there at smallbusinessadvocate.com, and along with the 1,500 plus other brain trust members. And all the other things you can do there. Don't forget to check out our blog. Subscribe to my newsletter at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Janet, tell us how we can find you. And your top 10 resolutions for small business owners for the new year are on your website too, aren't they?
They're on my website, but they're also on the list that you were just talking about. So they're on your website.
They are. Yep, we've got those up.
But my website, which has these resolutions and some other articles that I've written, is leverageanddevelopment.com, which is the name of my company.
So check that out. And they can find your book there, too, right?
Yes.
capitalizing on being woman-owned. Okay, so let's go through a couple more of your resolutions. What's next?
Well, let's skip down to number four. Determine if subcontracting is a good option for my business. We were talking about tough economic times, and I think that is an even better time to look at subcontracting opportunities, because what I've been doing some research and work with the construction industry lately, and the large companies are bidding on jobs that they used to would have, you know, turned their nose up at, because the opportunities
right.
are not as abundant as they used to be.
Right. They're going down market, aren't they?
Yes, they are. So they're showing up at meetings and for bids that they would never have even thought about. So that, and that's happening not just in construction, but in other areas too. So this is a time for the small businesses to look even more closely at getting a piece of that pie and being a subcontractor, instead of just thinking I don't have an opportunity.
And there's another term I'd like for you to think about along with the subcontracting, and that is outsourcing. It's okay to think of yourself as a subcontractor, but I would rather they have the holistic thought of being an outsource resource for people, which subcontracting might be part of it, but it might just be direct contracting with people where they used to do things themselves, and now that they've laid everybody off, they still need that work done, and they're ready to do some more of it, and instead of hiring a new employee, they'll outsource it to you.
And you and I have talked about that several times, and it's actually number six on the resolution.
Oh, did I get ahead of you? Well,
the thing is,
you lump them together. I mean, I do think that they're the same mindset, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, it's a whole. To me, Janet, the real opportunity for small businesses in the next 3 years, until big companies start hiring people back. I think long before they hire people back, they're going to be hiring contractors and subcontractors.
Well, when people cut back on, especially on staff, and when they cut back on the amount of money they spend on things, that's when changes occur in the way businesses do business. So
yep.
If you're not watching for that, you're going to, when things come back, you're going to be trying to do it in the old way,
yep.
And the old way is gone.
And thank you. So will you say that again, that last part? About the old way.
Oh, when
the old way is gone.
The economy comes back. If you're doing it the old way, you're in trouble. The old way's gone.
Yeah, that's history. Because where we're going isn't going to look anything like where we've been.
No. No.
So, folks, just get that through your head. Don't, you know, if you fell in love with how you used to do business, then your love has left you. I mean, yeah, that ship has sailed. All right, Janet, what's next?
Four, five, and six are all about the things that we talked about. Determine
right.
if subcontracting is good, find partners, and look for outsourcing opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But then I want to skip down to number 9 and 10. 9 is take the time to actually identify and qualify your prospects, and 10 is make your networking pay off. I know social networking is great fun, and it's a way to stay communicating. But just be careful that you're really communicating in a business way, and keep your personal stuff separate from your business stuff. And be sure that you're getting in front of your prospects, whether it's social marketing or attending meetings or any kind of networking event. You want to network with the people that can buy your stuff, not the people that are your friends.
One of the things I've been trying to do for a year and a half at least now is find a way to help small businesses find ROI in the social networking. And it's not easy to do, is it?
No, it has paid off in making people aware of my book, but in making people aware of my services and then having them take the initiative to actually seek out my services,
yeah.
That's tougher.
That's where the rubber meets the road, and that's another layer of discipline for networking, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And discipline. That's a very good word. I don't see a lot of people applying discipline to their social network.
Those are the ones who aren't being successful. The ones who are having discipline, like you, are making work. Janet, thank you so much for bringing all this this wisdom to us, and we look forward to our visit next time.
Thank you for having me.
Give us the website again, please.
Leverageanddevelopment.com.
You can find all of our resolutions there, as well as the book. And you can, of course, find Janet all over our website. Janet will be back. I promise. She's the best. Got to take a quick break. I'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.